Thriller with Clug and Dallas on Anchor.fm. Now here's your host, Clug and Dallas.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Thriller with Car Gonzalez. This is your host, Car Gonzalez. Thank you so much for joining in for episode 7. Hope you guys had a great weekend. I kind of relaxed on Sunday, took a break from podcasting, and just spent time with the wife and the pups. So I'm looking forward to diving in today. Today's topics, we're going to cover the cryptocurrency, cryptocurrency news that happened over the weekend. We're also going to cover some other news here in the technology field. I believe Tesla is in the news, and it's not good. And then we're going to dive into Cisco. If you guys don't know what Cisco is, Cisco Systems, Inc. is the largest networking company in the world. And I want to talk about their whole certification process. I do want to talk about them as a company. And then I also want to explain the reasons I chose to go down their certification path. I think this episode could be beneficial to people who are looking to break into the IT field and just don't know how, or just don't know what to do. And I would like to share my story with you guys if you're willing to listen. So get ready for another great episode of Thriller with Car Gonzalez, starting now. All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's get right into it. First off, we're going to start with Tesla. Apparently today, Tesla literally fired a fuck ton of people today. It's not a laughing matter, but they fired hundreds of people today. And no one knows why. So let's read the headlines. Let's see what it says. So basically, Tesla has reported fired hundreds of employees amid signs that the company is off to a slow start in manufacturing its crucial Model 3 electric car. The Palo Alto, California-based automaker and tech company dismissed several hundred workers, according to multiple reports, including an initial story by the Mercury News. The dismissals occurred after what Tesla described as an annual performance review of its more than 33,000 employees. The company did not provide specifics, but the firings reportedly included engineers, managers, salespeople, and factory employees. The move comes as Tesla is amid to rapidly expand production of its new mass market Model 3. And that's the one that is basically around 30 something thousand before all the extra features comes out to around 42, 45, somewhere around there. So CEO Elon Musk had said the company would be making 5,000 cars per week by the end of the year, but that goal appears to be in jeopardy amid early stumbles. It was not clear whether any of the firings were connected to the manufacturing problems. Elon Musk acknowledged on October 6th that the company was facing bottlenecks in Model 3 production. He said Tesla was diverting resources to clear up the Model 3 production challenges, which was one factor in the company's decision to delay its reveal of an electric semi-truck by about 3 weeks. The company said in a Securities Exchange Commission filing on October 2nd that a handful of its manufacturing subsystems have taken longer to activate than expected. So they pretty much fired hundreds of people today. It looks bad all around for Tesla. If I'm a young kid coming out of college and I'm really bright engineer and they try to recruit me, I'm definitely thinking twice before going there. They obviously don't value their employees. That's not good. It appears selfish on the main guy there, Elon Musk. It looks like he is demanding a lot from him, and he is gonna cut heads if that's what it takes to get other people to work harder. That's what it seems like to me. That's just terrible. People don't want to work for people like that, especially people who. And that's the thing about Elon Musk, that I think he's a really smart guy, and I think he understands the way the world works. Obviously, him being a bazillionaire, but it appears to me, and it was kind of noticed when Trump came into office, he was like one of the first ones to like basically suck up to Trump and try to get on his board when it came to like the technology board that Trump made. He invited like tons of people there. I think Jeff Bezos was there, Tim Cook, Elon Musk. Elon Musk was the only one that actually stuck around. It just appears to me that he's doing whatever is necessary to get his vision across, and it even appears that he does that inside his own company as well. It's probably one of those CEOs that's, and this is just me speculating, he's probably one of those CEOs that's like, you know, either come with me all the way, 100%, 110% probably, or get out of my way. He seems like that type of guy, which kind of sucks because no one likes people like that. And he appears really nice and you know, in speakings and stuff like that, but obviously that's not his true face. But anyway, this is all speculation. I don't know anything. But honestly, those people that got let go, that's probably the best thing that ever happened to them. Having Tesla on their resume is going to be really good. They're not going to be hurting for a job. Trust me. They can, they'll be able to get any job. And as I think they said in Palo Alto, they'll be able to get any job that they want. There's a lot of, startups out there that are, heading towards this, you know, electric, car economy that's coming up here pretty soon. So if I was them, keep your head up. Do not worry. Everything is going to be okay. All right, guys, let's get into it. Let's get into that crypto coin. So this weekend, I made a couple bets. I let you guys know what I was doing. Basically bet on this coin called Ripple. Also bet on this other coin called ADA. ADA, and then yesterday, mid-afternoon, I was looking at all the charts, and just on a lark, I just bought some XLM, nothing too big, and there was like $30, $50, just bought a shit ton of that coin. So today I wake up, and lo and behold, Ripple, they released some news that the Gates Foundation, the Bill Melinda Gates Foundation, you know, Bill Gates, the guy who invented Windows and software, has released new open source software for the unbanked that utilizes technology developed by a distributed ledger startup, Ripple. And if you remember me saying things about Ripple a couple of podcasts ago, you remember me telling you that they were heavily backed by the United States Banking and Corporation. You know, they had a lot of, you know, familiar characters like Ben Bernanke and people and his associates in the banking industry that were behind Ripple. They were holding 60 billion coin away from the rest of the market just in case, you know, a spike came up that they could go in and cash. They were in a lawsuit with another company that they promised that they were going to sell at 8 cents a share. Or a coin, sorry, not a share, a coin, and they refused to. Then they I think they won the court case, obviously. But today, they are one of three other financial technology firms participating in the development of the software. So basically, the Gates Foundation has been weighing applications of the tech since early 2015, including its use of a way to bridge disconnected financial systems. And this is they're getting in bed with Ripple, and they're trying to figure this protocol out, and they want financial networks to be able to talk to each other and be able to send money across those networks. It's basically it's all a pump game. I mean, I can read this and it reads, you know, like it's supposed to, but when you actually know what's really going on behind cryptocurrency, you know that it's just a pump game. It's just trying to make that. I mean, I'm sure they're trying to do good there too. But at the end of the day, they are very rich men, so the only thing that really piques their interest is money. Hate to say it, you don't become that rich if you don't want to make some money all the time. So basically, right now it's actually trading at Ripple. Where are we at? Yeah, so it's trading at 25 cents. It only went up like 4%. When I bought it, it was at 22 or 23, I think it was, and just went up 2 cents. So the circulating supply is a shit ton, and I think that's the part that's killing it. That's the same thing that's killing Cardano too. Cardano was another one that I bought at, 25 cents it was, I believe. It's now at 28 cents. That's another one where the circulating supply is at 25 billion, Ripple is at 38 billion, and then you look at something like Bitcoin is at 16 billion, and then you have something like Ether, which is at 95, well, that's not billion, that's 95 million, and Bitcoin is 16 million. So, I mean, you look at something like that, and you can kind of see where where the guys who don't know what they're doing creating coin, and then the guys who do know what they're doing maximizing profits. Also, so I got into another one. It was called XLM. And that was another one. And they actually had some interesting news that came out. But I think theirs is... I'm so glad I got into this crypto, this into this XLM coin when I did. Because literally, apparently... Me and my wife went to have dinner last night, and so I bought some of this coin right before we left for dinner. It must have been like 3 in the afternoon, and so sure enough, I bought it at a penny, and I bought like $33 worth. Wasn't that much. Then like 2 hours later, while I'm at dinner, I'm reading the news, and you wouldn't believe what had just happened. So basically what happened is 2 hours later, after I bought the coin at a penny, Big Blue, IBM, they're into the whole blockchain, and I believe they've been releasing some commercials talking about how blockchain is going to change everything, and they're really getting into creating their own blockchain, all this stuff. So here comes XLM coin. It's called Stellar Lumens, basically it's a... how do you say? It's not a poor man's coin. It's just a way for poor countries to trade, to get in this crypto game and to trade, basically to have a sustainable economy. They want to use this Stellar as a sustainable coin for very poor countries that, you know, that probably can't afford Bitcoin, but they can afford something like a Stellar, you know, coin. And then they use that as payment. So IBM, the tech giant, basically uses cryptocurrency and cross-border payments. So it's kind of the same move that that Ripple did today. This actually broke before that. So IBM is revealing today at Sibos 2017, it's some kind of conference, the results of a partnership with blockchain startup Stellar, in which it is successfully settled real transactions using the company's custom cryptocurrency, Lumens. While currently limited to cross-border payments involving British pounds and Fiji dollars, the early-stage platform is nonetheless designed to scale to handle each 7 fiat currencies in the South Pacific, including the Australian dollar, the New Zealand dollar, and the Tonka Ponka. Perhaps the platform's most distinguishing characteristic, however, is that the project showcases how private and public blockchain technologies are increasingly being used in tandem. While IBM's blockchain solutions are designed to complete much of the workflow around transaction clearing, the actual settlement will be conducted using Stellar's blockchain. In this case, Stellar Lumen serves to digitally connect fiat currencies allowing for nearly instant exchange without the consumer or buyer ever touching the cryptocurrency itself. So this is big news. Like, the fact that IBM is not trying to create its own currency, but actually, you know, basically picking up this startup and taking it on its back and saying, hey, we're going to climb this mountain. And if you're IBM, you're a big giant technology company. That's huge news. So today, it's up to 4 cents. It went from 1 cent to 4 cents in less than 24 hours. Unfucking believable. When I saw it this afternoon, it was at 140%. I know we're talking pennies here, but the fact that this coin actually started at, tenths of a cent, and then it finally got to a penny, and then now it's at 4 cents or close to 4 cents. It's unbelievable. The machine of the Big Blue of IBM getting behind them and then doing this is just unbelievable. It's huge, and I think the winner of the day obviously is Stellar XLM. They totally beat out Ripple. And that was something that, you know, a lot of people were expecting Ripple to show up this weekend. I certainly was. I invested a lot into Ripple this past weekend, and it didn't do what we thought it was going to do. We thought everything was, they're going to come out with some big news today. And apparently their big news was just that it was getting in bed with the Gates Foundation. And that's cool and all, but Bill Gates is a man in his own right, but he's not as big as IBM as a company. And and that driving force can really change things, especially for a small little cryptocurrency like Stellar. Right now it's trading at 3.038 cents, so basically 3-4 cents. I want to buy some more, but at the same time I'm like, really don't think I need any more. I don't want to be too greedy. Just because I already have like 2,000 coins. If it gets to a dollar, it's $2,000 from, you know, $33. Yeah, and don't get me wrong. I would love for it to go even higher than a dollar. You know, frankly, if it goes up to $2 or, you know, $5, you know, the higher it goes up, the better. That's what, you know, a penny coin can do. even at 3 cents right now, it's still a buy, in my opinion. If you don't have any right now, I would definitely get some. It's only going to get higher with time. I feel like just as long as IBM doesn't back another currency, you know, anytime soon. As long as they stick with Stellar as their horse that they're riding. Stellar is going to keep increasing with time. Who knows how much time that's going to take, but if you have IBM backing you and you have all their technology backing you and you have their capital backing you, and as a startup like Stellar, they can basically put them on their back and take them to the mountain. And it's 4 cents, and right now, and it was just a cent, one penny, less than what, 24 hours ago, or not even 24 hours, 27, 28 hours ago, maybe 30 hours ago. It's ridiculous. This one's gonna be climbing all week. I'm gonna be very tempted to wanna sell for a quick $500, but I'm gonna have to hold my foot down and not do that, because $500 would be nice, just to take $500 out from a $33 investment and then just use that to go buy an Xbox. No, I probably wouldn't do that. I'd probably reinvest it in coin. But I'm probably gonna hold on to XLM for a little while. Maybe I'll probably buy some more coin if it drops down below 3 cents again. And then we'll go from there. But that's pretty much our cryptocurrency talk. So we covered Ripple. We're disappointed, but we have two more days of this conference that Ripple is going to, deliver more information about what they got going on. This was day one where they, you know, said that Bill and Melinda Gates were going to be joining them to use them as a mobile payments option with their foundation. So that's good. They got Ben Bernanke tomorrow. He's the clown that messed up everything in 2008. they got him talking tomorrow, so I'm sure he's going to announce something. And then on Wednesday, they wrap it up, and I'm sure they have some big news on Wednesday. So we'll see. There's still some time for Ripple as well, XRP. And ADA, it's kind of one of those where it's just on the back burner for now. I'm not really thinking about it. It wasn't a heavy investment on that one. I think it was like $20 that I invested. But it's kind of one of those where I'm just waiting. Playing the waiting game. If it drops pretty low, then I'll probably take it out. But right now, it's just waiting. So that's our cryptocurrency talk. We're going to get into Cisco starting now. All right, guys, let's get into this. So today I want to spend most of the podcast talking about Cisco. And, this segment, this whole part of the podcast is for somebody who is looking to break into the IT field. Maybe they just don't have enough experience. Maybe they just don't know how to do it. Maybe they just don't have enough schooling. But they really love technology, and they really love, you know, working in front of a computer screen. And I know a lot of people don't like that. I enjoy it, but you know, there's some people out there that, because I was in this very same situation where I knew a lot about technology and I knew how to fix a lot of things on my own. It just came naturally for me at a very young age, and for whatever reason, I went to school for it and just never really took on anything. Just learning that way, I just couldn't learn in school, I guess. Not trying to sound special or anything, I just had problems turning in papers. I love the subject. I love hearing about it and talking about it with the rest of the class. But just for whatever reason, I wasn't very great at tests or actual work you had to turn in and stuff. I don't think I was a slacker, but I just for whatever reason, I enjoyed reading about it and learning about it and understanding it and implementing it. I like the hands-on parts of it probably the most. So, what I want to dive into today is I want to dive into Cisco. I want to share my story and explain to you where I'm at right now in my career and what I'm doing, just in my career and what I'm trying to achieve. Basically, guys, like I said, when I graduated high school, I pretty much went straight into community college. I didn't know what I was going to do. I knew I had a really strong love for the arts from an early age. I loved to draw. My mom thought I was autistic because I drew so much by myself in a corner when I was a kid. I didn't know I did that, but I very much enjoyed my own company and very much enjoyed creating my own things, and it's kind of weird, like, you look at me now and I'm still doing that, but it's whatever makes you happy, right? So as I got older, once I thought I was going to go to school, you know, to be an art teacher. That's what I really wanted to do. So I went to school for being an art teacher, and somewhere along the way, probably when I was like 15 years old, got my first computer, and my mom, I don't know if you guys remember Gateway computers. It's a big old box, kind of like a HP, big old tower PC, and it was like 533 megahertz. It was a big old screen, CRT screen, and it was ugly. But it was our first computer, and it ran. We had AOL, and yeah, when I discovered the internet, oh my god, it was unbelievable. It was like 1996. And we had just discovered, like, the internet, and I saw all these websites, and I just wanted to create my own website because I thought it was cool. So yeah, I just dove into it, and I would spend I spent the whole summer when we first got that computer, just literally staying up to the middle of the night, just figuring out how computer work, downloading games, playing them and stuff like that, messing up the computer, then having to fix it because I didn't know what I was doing. Just breaking shit and then learning from your breaks, just, you know, kind of doing that whole thing. So at a very young age, like 15 years old, I was already like on the internet, and just, this is before iPads and all that stuff that you guys have now. I don't know if I would have gotten into it if I had a touch screen. Probably would have. I don't know. I just don't know. But I really enjoyed how all that worked, how, like, web addresses, and I was really fascinated by, I guess, web design and creating websites. I thought it was really cool, so I created my own when I was in high school. It was a Dragon Ball Z website, and it was like a way so you can watch episodes of Dragon Ball Z, and I'm not going to say how I got all those episodes of Dragon Ball Z because I don't want to go to jail, but I was hosting them and just doing all kinds of shady shit when it came to, you know. But it's because the only reason I did that is because there was no Netflix back then, and there was no way to purchase Dragon Ball Z episodes. You literally had to download them and serve them somewhere. And at that time, there was no YouTube to share those. So what I did was basically create my own server, and I hosted those videos on my server. But yeah, and once I hosted those videos on my server, I basically would go to school the next day and then see if I could stream them from school. And bandwidth was very low back then, so I had to do some codecs and all this stuff just to make it work. And once I got it to work, I was just floored that I fixed something, that I created something out of thin air. And I showed all my friends, and they thought it was cool because they were all into Dragon Ball Z at the time. And then, yeah, so that was the only reason that I did that, but kind of going off track. So basically, you know, I fell in love with the computers at a very young age, and then it wasn't until I went to college that I started going to the art field, just because I felt like that was necessary at the time. Like, that was a safe play, was being an art teacher. But it wasn't until, like, I was doing that, and I really loved doing it. I really did. It was, there's no greater feeling. I don't know if there's any artists out there that went to art school, but there's no greater feeling than going into, like, a workshop and being around other creative people that are, you know, drawing or painting or sculpting. And you're creating together, and then you move away from your workspace, and you kind of just, you know, sometimes you got to walk it off just to kind of think your what you're creating, kind of think it through, and then you go and look around the rest of the workshop, and you see all these other great artists that are creating something just as amazing as you hope yours to be, and there's no greater feeling than that, and then getting ideas from them and understanding what they're creating and understand who they are as a person and what the art that they're trying to interpret, and then having a teacher to go and show you, like, hey, I know what you're trying to do. It's very pretentious. That's what they tell you when you're in art school. They tell you that what you do now is going to be very pretentious, so just accept that. And so it was one of those things where if it was easy to fall in love with, too bad it doesn't pay as much. That was one of the things that my art teacher told us, and he was very realist about this. He would say, it's great that you guys are, you know, it's great that you guys are, you know, creating art, and you want to do it for a living. Take it by me, you will probably end up a teacher. And that's what he did. He ended up a teacher, and he said it's because he loved art so much he had to be around it. And yeah, I can totally see that. So once I did that for a while, I realized that that wasn't going to be the thing. And while I was doing all of the whole art thing, I was actually in my band in my band in Corpus, and we were touring and doing all this stuff. We were terrible at first, and then we slowly got better through time. And eventually I consider us to be really great. Once towards the end, we got really, really great, I think. Just as good as any other band out there. So it wasn't until I moved to Austin, where during that time I was just focused on the band and going to school for art and stuff like that. I still had this technology because I was helping our drummer at the time, like, record music, and we had a lot of, like, PA equipment, and we had a lot of, like, technical gear and stuff like that. So I was the one that was always creating the websites for the band, doing stuff like that, trying to help our drummer. He was also a very tech guy too. And so, like, we were just trying to do our best with leading the whole tech boom at that time. This was like 2005, 2006, 2007. So a lot of these blogs were out there, music blogs were out there, and they're, you know, willing to put unknown bands on there. And you remember MySpace and all that stuff. But yeah, so I kind of got sucked into that whole thing for a very long time, I would say, for most of my 20s, if not all of my 20s. And it wasn't until I was like 31 years old, and I'm 33 now, but I was 31 years old, and I realized I had spent the past 12 years trying to create art, trying to create music, and I realized that I wouldn't say I failed, but I wouldn't say I succeeded either. I would say I learned some valuable lessons. I would say also that it was worth it. To live that life for 12 years is fucking awesome. So, even though you're not rich and famous and you're not a rock star, it's still fucking awesome being in a band and doing all that stuff. But at a certain point, you know, you have to grow up and you have to look at yourself in the mirror and say, hey, you're just not that good. So when I was like 31, I met my wife here in Austin, and I was still creating music. I had some part-time jobs around Austin, and nothing serious. I think I got lucky, and I got a job at UT, but it was basically just working inside the gymnasium. I guess it would be the football stadium. Working at the football stadium and just unloading trucks, doing warehouse stuff, running around in golf carts, and, you know, you know, fixing things around there, just basically grunt work. We would also, it was funny because we would also be setting up like tents. So whenever there was like a game day or something, like we would actually have to set up like a whole kiosk, and it would have to have a network, a hub. We're using hubs, kind of crazy. Basically a whole payment terminal. I think it was like Windows 7, and it had its own like cash machine, POS machine. So we would set all that up. We would set up all the clothes, set up all the tents, and then we would basically build it and break it down within like 12 hours for a game. That's why whenever like I go to a sporting event now, I have mad respect for those people that put on a sporting event or any kind of event that's live, that's done live. It's a lot of work, and there's a lot of moving pieces. There's a lot of people working their ass off so a lot of people can have a good time. So take it from me, if you ever go to a sporting event, please treat the people that are serving you, that are, you know, telling you where to go, telling you where to sit, you know, treat them with respect. They have to give up a lot just to show up. Some of them are volunteers, surprisingly. A vast majority of them are volunteers. They give up a lot of their day. There were some days, I got paid, but there were some days where I would have to show up at 3 a.m. because it was like a 10 or 11 o'clock game. And we would have to show up at 3:30, 4 a.m. just so we can get ready by kickoff, which is like 9, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock game. And we would spend the entire time just running to get everything set up. And you can only do so much prep work and lead up to that, but it was a very demanding job, and unfortunately, the University of Texas does not pay very well, especially for people that were just like grunt workers like me. So I knew that it wasn't a sustainable income for me; it just wasn't going to be. I was 31 years old, making really probably the wage of a 21, 22 year old, and it's kind of sad, but it is what it is. And looking back on it now, it feels good knowing where I came from, but at the same time, it was like, I could have dreamed a bit bigger. So I did that. One of my friends, actually, he was my old drummer in our band, and he actually moved to Austin, and he had stayed in Corpus, and he had actually gotten his certifications for IT. I think he started as a help desk at a bank there, and he slowly got his certifications over time. And then he moved to Austin, and he actually found a really good job working for Rackspace. They're a hosting company. And then from there, he got another job that paid him really well. I think they're paying him really well in Rackspace too, but they got another job there. And so when I finally was talking to him and was letting him know, you know, I was getting married and I was working here at UT, and it has all the perks and everything, but it just doesn't pay very well, but it looks great on a resume and stuff like that. And it's nice to tell people that you work there and you get a lot of free gear, get a lot of free stuff. There's a lot of perks with it, but it doesn't add up to a full bank account, you know? So he basically said, he's like, Carlos, you really should think about getting into the IT field. He's like, I know you know a lot about technology. Me and you used to work on it all the time. He's like, you're a wizard when it comes to stuff like that. He's like, you could totally do it. I was like, really? You think so? He's like, yeah. He's like, there's people with less experience than you making as much money as me, you know, not knowing anything. And I was like, really? He's like, yeah. I was like, wow. I mean, that's kind of crazy that he would say that, but at the same time, it's not that I didn't believe him. It was just kind of hard to know, you know? So what I did was take my next step. And that next step was asking him for help. And I basically asked him, I told him, I was like, hey, so you're saying I should get a certification. What certification do you think I should get? And he's like, is there one that can get you a job like in IT right away? He's like, there is one. He's like, it's a lot. It's really hard. It's a lot of work. It's not an easy certification. He even told me it was one of his hardest certifications that he took. And I said, really? Well, what is it? And he's like, you're CCNA. And I was like, wow. It's like, I've heard of a CCNA. You know, it's a networking, it's entry level networking certificate or certification. Basically gives you an associate level certificate saying that you know how to operate and troubleshoot, a network. it's a huge title to have like on your resume. And I asked him, I was like, you don't think I should take the Network Plus? Because the Network Plus is basically another certification that gives you a broad overview of the entire network. And he told me, he was like, no, like you shouldn't, because he's like, Network Plus doesn't really stand out on a resume. And he's like, don't take it A+, because it's just gonna be a waste of time. Yes, it's probably good to know that stuff, but if you plan on progressing, you know, upward, you know, that you should have taken the A+ when you're like in high school, or you should have taken it a long time ago. No one's gonna ask you, you know, do you have an A+ if you show me you have a CCNA. And so it was kind of one of those things where it's like the chicken and the egg. You know, if you have a chicken, people are just gonna assume you have a chicken that lays eggs. You know, no one's gonna say you have a chicken and they're not gonna think you just have one chicken. They're gonna be like, okay, where's the rest of the eggs? They're just automatically gonna assume. It's kind of like that, where he said that if you have your CCNA, people are just gonna assume you know everything before that, including, you know, the A+, Network Plus, and stuff like that. And I thought that was really interesting. And he said that he had taken, when he was working his way up from help desk to where he is now, he said that he had taken the A+, and then he had taken the Network Plus. He has taken those gradual steps, like A+, Network Plus, then he was going to take, and then he took the CCNA, and then so on, and been built from there. But he said that if he had done it all over again, he would have just started with the CCNA. And I was like, wow. He's like, yeah. He's like, that would have saved. He's like, that would have shaved off 2 years. I was like, really? He's like, yeah, that would have shaved off 2 years. I thought that was very fascinating that he told me that. So, you know, I really thank him. I really thank him for that, getting me on the right track. So at the time, I was working at UT, and I couldn't find a job, and I had just had this conversation with my friend, and I actually started applying for help desk jobs or any kind of IT jobs, because there's an abundance amount of IT jobs here in Austin. A lot of them require very little knowledge, or, you know, very little understanding of, you know, of anything, you know, network related. Just as long as you know how to, you know, use a computer and do basic troubleshooting steps and understand, you know, web pages and websites and stuff like that, and, you know, just basic small core little things that you need to know. Pretty much anybody that's used a computer the past 10 years should have enough experience. So what I did is I went to like a web hosting company. They're called HostGator. Terrible, by the way. But I went to them and I applied there, and they called me for an interview one day, and I was still working at UT. So I went over there for an interview, and I sat me down, and I tried to convince them to get me a job there. And basically convinced the guy there that I was going to get a job. And he said, if I call you back by the end of today, that means you didn't get it. And I was like, really? He's like, yeah, because I still got to interview 3 other people. So I like you, but if I call you back today, that means there's somebody better than you. And I was like, damn. I was like, that's very cutthroat to say, but I appreciated his honesty. And so what happened, he didn't call me back. Yeah, and he didn't call me back at all, like for weeks. And I kind of got scared. I was like, well, shit, what happened? So when I went back to work the next day, my coworker was asking, he was like, hey, how did the interview go? And I was like, I thought it went well. Like, he basically told me what I told you guys, and he hasn't come back since. He's like, well, don't worry about it, man. He's like, you still got a job here at UT, so it's, you know, you can keep applying for other jobs. And honestly, they were gonna pay, they think they were gonna pay like $14 an hour, and at UT I was only making like $12 an hour. So I could have gotten a really good job at $14 an hour. So weeks went by and they never contacted me. And then finally, like out of the blue, they send me an email and they're like, hey, we hired you and we want you to start on such and such date. And I was like, you guys hired me like a few weeks later? And I emailed the lady back and I was like, yeah, no problem. Well, the next day she emailed me again. She's like, hey, change of plans. And I was like, fuck, am I getting fired before I even got hired? Just got hired. And she's like, no, we're going to move you to a different web company. It's going to be called A Small Orange. And I was like, okay, that's cool, I guess. So sure enough, I go to my first ever IT job, or I wouldn't even call it IT. I would call it like a web hosting job. Basically my first technology job like ever I had. And I was so happy. Like I got this job. I told my boss at my UT job that thank you for the opportunity to work here. It was one of those experiences that definitely didn't make enough money here, but I will always treasure this place, going forward, just because, seeing how everything worked and learning all what I learned. And it was one of those great experiences to work there. And I always will remember the people there and the whole facility, and even Coach Strong. He was a really nice guy. And so I really enjoyed my time there. I was kind of sad to leave there, but it was one of the things where I had to, because I wanted my career to progress. So when I started this at this web company, A Small Orange, they basically told me that we work for this company called Endurance. They're a big conglomerate. They own a lot of web hosting companies. We work for A Small Orange, one of those web hosting companies. We were in training for like 4 weeks, almost a month, and there was a group of 12 people. We all bonded really well. We all came from different backgrounds. Some of us were from like out of state, Montana. Some of us were from New York, California. There was a lot of people in that class that really didn't know as much as me and like one other person knew when it came to technology and stuff. And I realized that what I knew was actually more than I thought I did. I actually was surprised. So sure enough, we finally started like a month later, like on the floor, and we're basically doing tickets and just basically resolving issues, whatever people's websites were not doing, whether it was like DNS issues or like SSL certs, basically stuff like that. It was all built on cPanel and WHMS and stuff like that. So I had a lot of experience doing that because I used to build my own websites when I was a kid. So I knew all that stuff. Plus I bought some books when I was in training just to get a refresher on it all. So I did very good there. It wasn't until like probably 3 months in, they started changing things at that company, where they started telling us like, oh, so now we want you guys to, we're going to merge you with HostGator. And we were like, what? Like, we're going to merge with HostGator. And so they started merging other web hosting companies with that company. And the management changed very fast. People got fired in the management team. It basically felt like the company was self-destructing in front of us, and we had just gotten hired. And I remember telling everybody there that I was in the class with, I was like, guys, we're not going to have a job here. We're not going to last a year here, because it doesn't look like this company is going to succeed. And by basically telling them that, I kind of pushed myself in a corner. People kind of thought I was negative, but I wasn't being negative. I was just being honest and letting them know that this company, it doesn't look like it's going to succeed, because they're kind of merging us and they're cutting people and they're firing people. It just feels very much like they're going to lay us off or something. So once I started noticing that trend where they always had a date in mind towards the end of the year, but they never said anything past that date, that was a clue in my head that, why aren't they ever talking past this certain date? That tells me that they're getting ready to shut down. Everything spoke of that just in my head. And I was the only person that saw that. I think one other person saw my side, but they thought I was like just reading too much into it. So I ended up doing was I started looking for another job, just because the culture there was okay, but they really didn't value like helping people. There's a lot of people that worked there that just really didn't do a very good job when it came to actually helping people that actually paid for service there, like hosting service, and they didn't care. So they would pawn off tickets to other people, or they would just send generic responses, and Yeah, like once you start working in that type of field and you see how people react to certain things, and they only like working for that company, I started realizing like they would only respond to people that would complain on Twitter, but only if they had more than 500 followers. Very weird. It was just very like, wow, this is an awful company. Like, this is, they're a reactive company instead of a proactive company, and I just didn't want to be associated with that. So I started looking for another job, and I was telling my friend about it, and he was like, yeah, he's like, you should bail. And I was like, yeah. I was like, what do you think I should apply for? He's like, and he was telling me, he's like, you should try to get an IT job, like a help desk job. And I remember telling him, I was like, yeah, but where? Who's going to hire me as a help desk job? He's like, well, you have experience doing this, right? And I was like, yeah. He's like, are you looking into your CCNA? And I had told him, I was like, you know, not really. He's like, look into it. He's like, and then start putting that on your resume. And I was like, okay. I was like, I'll try that. So what I did was I did some research because I had been out of school for a long time. My loans were paid already. I hadn't gone to school here in Austin. So I was 31 years old, and I was looking for a way to, well, I was 32. I was 32 years old, and I was looking for a way to, like, you know, find an IT job here in Austin, but I didn't know how because I didn't have enough experience. So I was in that situation where everybody who gets in that situation gets in, is that they don't have enough experience, but they know their shit, but they can't prove it because they don't have enough experience. So what I did was I went to ACC, which is Austin Community College. I went over there and I asked the lady, I was like, hey, do you guys have a CCNA course? And she said, yes. She's like, we do have a CCNA course. There's actually one starting here in the next 3 months. It's from April all the way until July of next year. And I was like, what? It was like 1 year course just on the CCNA. And I was like, what? And she's like, yeah, they meet every Saturday from 8 to 5. And I was like, wow. I was like, that is a commitment if I've ever heard of one. So, you know, what I did was talk to my wife, and I was like, hey, I want to change career paths. This course is going to cost a lot of money. I think it was like $3,900. And this is when I didn't know that you could go study on your own and then take the test. Like, I didn't know that that was a thing. I just was told, go find, you know, my friend told me, go get your CCNA. But I never asked him, like, how? I just assumed, like, oh, you just go to, like, school. That's how you get it. So, yeah, it was, like, $3,900. So we had a credit card and we charged it. So basically I enrolled in this class, and there was, like, 5-7 other people that had enrolled as well. And this was at a community college here in Austin, and I was in the CCNA class, and it was very exciting. And the instructor came in the very first day, and he's like, are you guys ready? And we were like, ready for what? And this is what he said. He goes, are you ready for your lives to change? And when he said that, I was kind of like taken aback. I was like, what does he mean, like, ready for our lives to change? That's kind of scary. Now I know what he meant, but at the time I didn't know. And it was probably one of the most scariest but heartwarming things somebody could say to you when they first meet you. So what I did was just grind, man. Like, I would work Monday through Friday at that crappy web hosting company that I felt like that was going out of business. And I was the only person who thought that. And then I, sure enough, like, was, and then I would show up on Saturday and go through all my tests. Well, towards like the second part of the first course, because there's four courses, towards the second part of the first course, towards the second part of the first course, there's four courses in the CCNA, but towards the second part of it, the first course, my boss at my web hosting company job was like, hey, we need you to work Saturdays. And I told him no. I was like, no, I can't. And he's like, why can't you? And I told him, I was like, I'm taking my CCNA. I'm working towards my CCNA. So here's my, you know, this is what I paid. This is how much I've actually, this is the times that I'm going to school. So I can't, I was like, I don't mind showing up after five when I get out. He's like, yeah, you're probably going to have to do that. But I didn't care. Like the way I looked at it was like, this is necessary. This is the type of stuff that gets thrown in your face whenever you're trying to go through something. Because, you know, I don't know if it's God. I don't know if it's yourself. I don't know if it's just the universe. But something tests you and they want you to see. They want to see how bad you want it. And if you're willing to, you know, jump over walls, break through buildings to get it. And this is what happened. So he started scheduling me after 5 on Saturdays. And I felt like he was very much doing it just because... I don't know if he just didn't like me. I don't know what it was. I just felt like, you know, when you meet somebody and then somebody treats you a certain way and you don't know why they're treating you that way, but you know something's there, but you're not, you kind of want to ask them, but you're not sure. But then you're like, do they treat everybody else like that? And you look around and you realize that they don't treat anybody else like that. It's just you. He was kind of one of those people that treated me like that. And I didn't understand why. I'm sure it had to do with the CCNA. Maybe it was because I was bettering myself. That's the only thing I could think of. So sure enough, I just studied. I would study when I got off of school on Saturdays. I would study when I got off of work. I would study at work. I was just studying constantly to learn this stuff. It was very hard, especially that first course was very hard because they throw so much on you. They throw a lot of networking on you in such a condensed amount of time. And these pages are huge. They're like 300 books. I have some sitting right there. They're huge. They're huge books. And I basically read that thing back and forth. We took our tests. I passed the first course. And all this time, after I passed my first course, I was really like still looking for a job. And so I found this MSP, and MSP is a managed service provider. And I applied just on LinkedIn. I had created a LinkedIn because somebody had told me, like, if you're in IT, make sure you create yourself a LinkedIn. Make sure you put all your things, you know, whatever your goals are, make sure you put them on there. Whatever you're doing right now, like if you're going to school, put that on there. So that's what I did. I put that I was enrolled in the Cisco Networking Academy at Austin Community College. So I put that in there. I created a whole, what I thought was a very good looking LinkedIn profile. And so when I saw these job offers come, I applied. So there was one from MSP. I applied for that one. There's another one for another help desk job. I applied to that one. There's another one for another web hosting company. I think WP Engine was one. So I applied there. So I kept applying to all these places. None of them called me back except for this one MSP. They called me back because they probably looked at my resume and were like, this guy doesn't have a lot of experience. You know, so when I go there to the interview for that job, I'm still studying. Like nothing's changed. I go on my break because I work at the web hosting company job, and I literally tell them that I have to go to a doctor's appointment. I made up a lie and I told them like I had to be at a doctor's appointment at this certain time. It was the time of the interview, just so that way I could make sure that I had enough time for an interview. So that's what I did. I told my boss. He didn't like it very much at all because it was very much short notice because I found out that interview that week. And so I told him, but I knew in my heart that if I got an interview, I knew I could get the job. I just had that much confidence in myself that I knew that I could get the job, and I knew that they would see that I was putting in the work already. So when I went to the interview, they were asking me all kinds of questions, and I basically told them, I was like, I told them the truth. I was like, I know on paper, I don't know a lot, but believe me when I say I do know a lot. I've been working on computers since I was 15 years old. You know, I know them inside and out. I know the technology behind it. Right now, I'm currently enrolled in the Cisco Networking Academy here at ACC. I'm studying to get my CCNA. So it won't be very long until I have it. And, if you guys hire me, I can guarantee you that if you give me this opportunity, I will stay with you, as long as I can. I guarantee you that, I will not go anywhere else. I will make sure that you guys get a return on your investment. Basically what I told them. And they looked at me and they kind of smiled like, what is this guy selling? But I told them that because I wanted them to understand that I know when you hire somebody, especially somebody that doesn't have enough experience, but is somebody, there's somebody else with way more experience that has that probably, you know, could beat you. The only thing that they're going to hire you more than the other guys, the intangibles. That's the only thing you have going for your intangibles. So I knew that going in that my resume wasn't as stacked as somebody else who had, you know, 1 to 3 years of IT experience, or already had their CCNA, or already had their A plus and network plus. Like, I didn't have that. All I had was a certified letter saying that I was enrolled in Network Academy here at ACC, and that they could fact check that by calling my teacher. And also had some books that I was studying while I was waiting for them to show up for the interview. And then the intangibles, like basically telling them, like, I will make sure that you get a return on this investment that you take on me, and kind of treating it like a transaction, letting them know that, you know, if you invest in me right now, I will make sure that you guys get your money's worth, you know, at the end. And I guess it was that, and I guess it was almost my confidence that convinced them, because later on, like much later, probably like 3 months later, they told me, they were like, we really liked how confident you were in your abilities, and we liked how you told us exactly what you were good at, exactly what you were bad at, and that you were honest first with us. And I told him, I was like, yeah, and I was honest with him the whole time. So sure enough, two days later, I went back to the office, and then my coworker was there, and he was like, what happened? What'd they say? And I was like, I don't know. And then later, like an hour later, they were like, hey, we want you to come back for a second interview. So I went the next day for a second interview. I blew it out the door. And then they basically offered me the position later that week, and I got the job. And the only reason I got the job was, like I said, the intangibles, but it was because I was enrolled in the Cisco Network Academy. Like, my teacher was right. Like, being in the Cisco Network Academy, the CCNA will change your life. It can do that for people. So I went from making, what, $14 there at that web hosting company to automatically getting a dollar raise, making $15. And then right after 3 months passed, they bumped me up another $16. And then 6 months later, when I got my CCNT, because basically when you get your CCNA, you have to take the CCNT, and then you take the CCNA. Once I got that, they bumped me up to $17. And then just recently this year, they bumped me up to $19. Yeah, guys, like, I literally went from making $12 an hour to making $19 an hour in a span of 18 months. And it was just because of the CCNA and just a lot of hard work. So that's what I mean when I say, like, you know, I wanted to tell my story so that way if there's somebody out there that is, you know, listening to this podcast and they see the title, CCNA changed my life. I'm going to try to name it that, but I don't know if it'll fit. But if they see the title, CCNA will change your life, I want them to listen. I want them to hear my story. And I want them to understand when I tell them this that, you know, don't feel like you can't change your life because, you know, and it sounds so cliche, but when I worked at UT, you know, a lot of people that were alumni that worked there, they weren't the most friendly people to people like me and my coworkers there at UT. You know, vast majority of us were Hispanic, and the vast majority of us were of ethnic cultures, and so it didn't jive well with the whole UT staff. If you could imagine, you've seen a football game, you know what they look like. I'm not saying that's a thing, but I'm just saying that the people that worked there weren't very nice to us. So to go from something like that and think in a certain way and then going to something where I am now is night and day with, you know, I would say just try not to undervalue yourself. I think that's probably the worst thing you can do to yourself. I would say you're better off, you know, if you're a cutter, like cutting your wrist or something, but don't kill yourself. But I mean, like, if you're one of those people that likes to hurt themselves, I would say do that, do physical pain to yourself before you actually, you know, undervalue yourself. Because when you undervalue yourself, you're basically saying this is all you can achieve and there's no way you can do anything better than yourself. I'm not gonna lie, I got very lucky. There's a saying that people say that luck favors the hard worker or something like that, and I think that's true. Luck tends to favor the person that's grinding every day, the person that's, you know, up to midnight every day putting in the work. Luck favors that person because they're on the grind, they're looking at everything, their eyes are open, and they're studying or they're doing whatever they love to do that they want to see pay off in the long run. So but that's what I'm trying to say is, like, if you're out there and you're somebody who, you know, man or woman that loves technology, that wants to, you know, wants to make some good money doing it, like right now, I don't make a lot of money. Like, I'm comfortable. We're comfortable. Me and my wife are comfortable with the money that we make. We're not rich, but we're comfortable. There was multiple times in my life where I was poor, like poverty poor. There's times where I was living by myself or living with friends where it was tough just to have like $5 just to eat, just to buy some ramen, you know, like, and then going to school and having to pay for books and then worrying and then overdraft fees and all that kind of stuff. Like, it was tough, man. Like, it was tough. That's what I'm trying to say. Like, I've been there. I know exactly what that feels like. It sucks. It's a grind. It sucks. And you literally think there's no way out of it. Like, you just kind of want to say, fuck it. And you throw your hands in the air and you don't know what to do about it. I do want to say that the thing that saved me and my wife was when I signed up for that Network Academy. I still applied for financial aid. Even though we were married, I still applied for it. And I basically said that, you know, I'm working full time. I don't have that much money and I want to get this thing, but I have to take out a credit card to take this class. I'm going to pay it over time. But thank God, bless her soul, whoever the financial aid person was that told me, she basically said, mijo, and that means son in Spanish. Don't pay for that. I know you already paid for it, but I'm gonna help you. And I was like, what do you mean? She's like, there's a bill called the Texas, it was like a Texas grant that basically gave money to people that were in their 30s trying to gain some kind of knowledge to use and to put back into the city. So this lady, she basically said, come here, I'm gonna show you what you need to apply for. So she gave me the FAFSA form, or no, actually I already had filled up the FAFSA form. She gave me this form and said, Texas something grant. She told me to fill it out. She also said to put the classes that I've already paid for, which was the CCNA four part series. So I put the course ID and the course number on there, I signed it. I gave her like another document that she needed to verify something or the other, I don't remember what it was, and I turned it back into her the very next day. And within a week, she's like, I'll take care of this, trust me. And thank, bless her soul, but she took it. And then she gave me a call like a week later. She's like, hey, I got you the grant, so we're gonna pay for 3/4 of it, we're not gonna pay for the last one. So what we're gonna do is we're gonna send you a check of $1,200 for every because there's 4 courses for every course. So every 3 months, I was getting a $1,200 check to repay the initial cost of it. And sure enough, like, if that wouldn't have came through, I would have had to pay for that whole course myself. But thank God there was a grant. Thank God that lady was working that day. Thank God she saw something in me that either reminded her of her nephew or her son or somebody that she knew, and she wanted to help me in some way. Like, that's why I say when you put in the work and you put in the time and you have that eagerness, it's in your face. Like, people see it, people are drawn to it, and it can kind of carry you places in a very subconscious way. So I feel like maybe I probably had this worried look on my face when I was waiting in line for financial aid. And then she probably saw that, you know, who knows what she saw. Maybe she saw that, you know, my fingernails were bitten, and maybe she thought that I was stressed out, or maybe she saw the ring on my finger. Maybe she just saw something. I don't know what it was, but she basically helped me out. And I, you know, from this day forward, I would always remember her, because, you know, that helped us a lot. That $3,000 helped us a lot, you know, in the long run. So what I'm trying to say is, if you're out there and you're trying to get your, you're trying to get to break into the IT field, I highly recommend getting your CCNA. I highly recommend working towards it. Right now, the only reason I'm bringing this up right now is because I'm actually taking my CCNA test here on October 30th. I've already finished the four courses, but those four courses, you get a voucher for taking it. You get a voucher for the test, and they give you a certificate telling you that you passed. It actually looks better on a resume when you say that you went to the Cisco Network Academy, as opposed to just reading it from a book on your own. But so I have all those certificates. But the certification is the thing that's its actual value. That's the thing that employers will want, because it has the serial number of your certification. Basically says that you are certified CCNA. So this coming Monday, not next Monday, but the Monday after that, I'm taking my CCNA, which is the ICND2. Right now, I currently have my CCNT, which is a which is an entry level network support position. Basically, it's the certified professionals have the knowledge and the skill set to install, operate, and troubleshoot a small enterprise branch network, including basic network security. Basically, it says that you understand and you can manage a small enterprise branch network, and it's basically your first step in getting your CCNA. And that's what I have right now, and I'm very proud of that certification. I know there's probably way smarter people listening to this podcast, and they're like, this guy's making such a big deal of the CCNA, but honestly, it's my first certification, so I think everybody's a little bit loves that first one. So I would highly recommend, even if you can't afford to go to school, or maybe there's just not a Cisco course, you know, in your area, I would highly recommend, you know, purchasing some books. You can go to Amazon. There's this guy named Paul Browning. Search for his book. It's on the Kindle library. I think it's like $8. His book is tremendous. There's another website called Udemy. They have Cisco courses. Paul Browning also has a Cisco course there. I swear, if you read his book on Amazon, Paul Browning, and then you do his labs on Udemy.com. You search for Paul Browning. You do his labs. You will be ready for your CCNT to take in 3 months. Guarantee it. And I say 3 months because I say, if you already have experience with technology, if you don't have any experience in technology whatsoever, and you're totally, you know, green, and you don't know, you know, much of anything, it's okay to start with your A+. Especially if you're a young person, if you know like technology and you understand how computers work and how networks work and how they all function, you have a base knowledge of it, I would say go ahead and start with your CCNT. It'll probably be a huge gap that you will have to learn, but it'll be worth it. It might take a little longer for you to get that certification, but it will be worth it, because once you get that, you don't have to go back and take those other certs. But if you're somebody who's very young, like 19, 18 years old, 20 years old, get your A+, especially if you don't have that much. You haven't been working with computers very long, and then get your Network Plus. It wouldn't hurt. And then from there, get your CCNA. There's some people on YouTube you can search for. There's this guy named Network Chuck. He's a pretty cool guy. He explains the CCNA. He's a very big. How would you say, like a kind of a champion of Cisco? He believes the CCNA is the right course to take. That you can see a mass benefit from it. I honestly believe him. Like I've been through it myself. Like I said, I'm not rich or anything, but I'm way better off than I've ever been in my entire life. And it's just because I've got my CCNT now, but I'm working towards my CCNA, which I'll be taking here in a couple weeks, and hopefully I pass the first time. And that's one of those things, if you don't pass the first time, that's okay. Most people don't pass the first time. It's a very hard test. It's one of the hardest tests I've ever taken. When I took my CCNT, so fucking hard. So hard. One of the hardest tests I've ever taken. Harder than like the SATs or the TOS test, just because it's asking you about networks, and it wants to make sure that you understand the ins and outs of a network and understand everything down to, you know, a freaking packet, a UDP packet of like this podcast, the way it's transferred over audio, how that turns into digital bits, and then how that's transferred over the wire and Ethernet and edge routing. It just goes on from there, and 7-layer protocol and OSI model and all that stuff. It wants you to understand everything ins and outs. Basically, it's pretty cool. It's a really interesting subject. That's why I liked it a lot, because you basically understand how everything moves. Like when I troubleshoot things now at work, I understand that, oh, the reason this is not working is because this so-and-so is on this port, or this port is only used for these type of applications, and it's set on the wrong port. Just different things like that. Like things that you wouldn't, what's funny is that the more and more you study, the more you see it on your everyday life, especially if you already have an IT job, you'll start seeing it in your everyday life, and you'll start experiencing, you'll know right away what it is, and you'll go right to it. So yeah, I would say definitely Paul Browning is somebody that I would check out. Also, Window Odom, he makes a very big book. It's a very thorough book, and he covers a lot of information. If you really like factual, very straightforward book learning, then go with Window Odom. If you like somebody that's going to give you a little bit of flavor, if you already understand technology already the way it is, then I would say take Paul Browning, because he'll introduce a little bit, he'll inject some flavor in there and give you some nice concepts to think about. It probably won't be very fact-based, but at least this way you'll get an understanding of the theories a lot easier. Because when you read something like Window Odom, it's just very, not dry, but it's just very, it's not an elegant way. It's very much like this is why this is this. When you listen to this, when you do like Paul Browning, when you read Paul Browning, it's very much like, this is why it's like this. And do you know why it's like that? Because of this. And it's like, okay, and this is why that fits in like this. This is why this happens. He's just very much more elegant the way he goes about it. But it's not the Cisco speak that he uses. Window Odom does a very Cisco speak. And I mean that on the test, like when you're looking at tests and you're taking the test and you actually take the test, you actually will see more of what Window says. But I feel like Paul Browning helps you understand it very well. And I would also like to mention that, yeah, like Udemy, that's the best place to go to. There's tons of people offering Cisco, learning, or your CCNA learning. You can go to, there's another one called, what is the name of that place? CBT Nuggets is another one that they offer video courses. When I first started, I started off with video courses, especially with the CCNT. Like, it was very hard to understand how everything worked. I was very much a visual learner at that time, where I couldn't read it and see it. But when I was watching like IT Pro TV, those guys would basically explain everything, and they would go into why, you know, what a router is and what a switch does and how they all interconnect to a network and all this stuff. And you know, and it is very good to see that. I think if you're starting off in the beginning, probably watch a couple videos. They have some Cisco or CCNA videos on YouTube. I haven't seen any that actually stuck out to me where I'm like, oh, no, that's good teaching. I feel like CBT Nuggets and IT Pro TV have the best video courses. I think they charge like $59 a month, I think it is, or $39 a month. It's worth it. It's definitely worth it. Because if you're taking your test, or if you're getting close to taking your test like me, you're going to need some stuff rounded out for you, just to get you a grasp of it. And then you have to go back and read it to understand it. Then you have to go back and take your practice tests and to really grasp it. And then you have to go back and, you know, it's kind of one of those things, like with me, like when I was taking my CCNT test, I very much jumped from like video to practice test to going back and reading and just going back and understanding what I missed and really understanding how OSPF works and how RIP routing works and stuff like that, and spanning tree protocol and all those protocols. It's just, it's nuts. But great thing about it is once you get your certification, you're going to have that vast amount of knowledge that's just going to be stuck in your brain. Like the amount of knowledge that I have stuck in my brain right now when it comes to routing and switching is just unbelievable. I don't use it every day. That's one of those things where I don't use it every day. I actually deal a lot more with Microsoft networks. Well, not Microsoft networks, but just Microsoft in general, like AD and Exchange and stuff like that. But it when I do get a chance to use my Cisco chops, it's awesome. It's one of those things when you're inside that console and you're pumping out these commands and you're making shit work with just by typing in some commands into a black terminal interface. And yeah, it's pretty fucking cool. And it not only does it feel cool and it looks cool, but it's one of those where you're just like, fuck, how do I know how to, like, it's just one of those where you take back, you're like, oh shit, I do know how to do this, you know. And sometimes you'll forget, and that's okay. That's what Google's for. So you can just quickly remember, you're like, oh yeah, that's right, that's how you do this. And then you just go and type in those commands, and that's how you do it. But I would seriously, if you're out there and you're listening to this podcast, if you've listened this long, I'm sorry for going this far into it, but just very much passionate about it. And I just wanted to share my story, and I hope I can inspire somebody out there to, you know, either follow the same path or work towards something else. There's other certifications out there. Microsoft has some certifications. They're what is it called? The MCSA. Yeah, MCSA, I believe it is called. And that is just your Microsoft Certified Solutions Associate. After I get done with my CCNA here this year, I am going to be working towards that, just because in my job, in my field, that's, it's a Microsoft world, man. No matter how hard I back the Mac, but it's a Microsoft world. It really is. And maybe Amazon will change in the future, but right now it's a Microsoft world. So yeah, I'm probably just going to jump towards that right after I get done with my CCNA. But anyway, let me know if you guys have any questions. Shoot me on Anchor. Send me a question. Shoot me some email. We'll talk about it. And I'll help you with anything I can. So that has been another episode of Thriller with Carl Gonzalez. I hope you guys enjoyed it. I'm sorry if it felt very long-winded and long and boring. But I haven't told my story to anybody besides my wife and my close family. This is the first time I've ever told my story to, you know, a lot of people all at once. So it felt pretty good. It felt like I was getting a lot off my chest. Oh, and I forgot to mention, so that company that ended up leaving, the web hosting company, they did end up shutting down. They ended up closing down that place. Like, after I had left, they stayed open for like another 7 months, and then they closed down. Yeah, kind of crazy, right? Yeah, that's why I say, like, whenever you have a gut feeling about something, go with your gut. Even though sometimes other people will not believe you, or they just don't know what's, and they think you're crazy or whatever, doesn't matter. Who cares what they think? Go with your gut. And I'm so glad that I listened to myself, because if I wouldn't have, I would have been without a job. If I would have stuck around, I would have been without a job. Anyway, so yeah, if there's anything you should take from this episode, go with your gut. So yeah, that's going to be another episode of Thriller with Carl Gonzalez. If you guys have any questions to ask, or if you guys want to be featured on this podcast, go to anchor.fm/thriller. From there, you can download the app and you can contact me and send in a call-in voicemail, and I'll play it here on the episode. And We'll answer the questions. If you don't want to show your voice, it's okay. You can send an email to car@thrillerpodcast.club, C-L-U-B. I don't have thrillerpodcast.com because it was too expensive. And also you can reach us via Twitter. So twitter.com/thrillerpodcast. That's a thing now. Right now we're actually periscoping. So I'm doing the whole GoPro setup. I have the GoPro plugged in and it's streaming Periscope. So if you guys are listening around, or you guys are on Twitter around 6 p.m. to around this time, 11 p.m. Central Standard Time during the week, feel free to jump in. You can see me talk to no one. Now, if you're curious just about my setup, how I have all this set up, that'd be a good way. Also, you can find me on Snapchat, car-gonz, cargons, and that way we can start sharing snaps, do the whole snap thing. And then where else? Oh, also, hey, so leave us a review on the podcast app or the Google Play music app. I just started this podcast, and yeah, I would love to see maybe one or two reviews. That would be cool. I don't want to be that guy that gives himself a review. So if you guys could give me a review, my first review, oh, that would be awesome. I would totally read it on the show, even if it's bad. I hope you wouldn't do that, but seriously, leave me a review. I'd very much appreciate it. All right, I think we covered everything. Thank you guys so much for stopping by and hanging out. Tomorrow, we're going to try to cover some hot topics. I'm hoping to get a guest on later this week. I spoke with somebody from cryptocurrency field, and I'm trying to get them to get on the podcast and talk about cryptocurrency. I also have another person that, a longtime friend, that I want to jump on this podcast so we can talk UFOs and conspiracies and stuff like that. So hang in there. Hope you guys have a great time listening. Have a great rest of your day. Hopefully it's the end of it, so you can go home and relax. But if not, have a good one. This has been another episode of Thriller with Car Gonzalez, and we are out.
You have been listening to Thriller with Car Gonzalez on Anchor.fm.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.